3, 2, 1. Hello, listeners. I'm James Tew. I'm a columnist for Bee Culture Magazine. This is my article for October 2022. Honeybee husbandry and plastic hives. Surprisingly, beekeepers have a long plastic hive history. We all have our reasons that determine what we house our bees in. Our ancestors used box hives and the occasional skep. In all my bee life, I have primarily used tin-frame wooden equipment. And I use that kind of equipment simply because I've always used it. Some of you use 8-frame. Others are eager to use top bar hives or other such related styles. Many of you even use various types of plastic hives that are offered in multiple sizes and various chemical configurations. Plastic beehives, in one form or another, have been presented in bee supply catalogs since the late 1960s. Honestly, plastic hives cannot really even be called a new idea. I've always been a wood guy. The odor of new pine blended with the smell of beeswax has always pervaded my beekeeping life. As the years have passed, increasingly, that smell always took me to beekeeping. Even now, the smell of newly milled pine brings back pleasant memories of new wooden bee equipment. And of course, the odor of beeswax and combs is the classic aroma of the bees' world. These blended odors are the very essence of olfactory beekeeping. So it's ironic that I admit to you that I've been a woodworker longer than I've been a beekeeper. So if I'm so committed to woodworking and spend several years building all my hive parts, why do I have any interest in plastic beehives? The short answer? I really don't know. But I hope you don't stop listening. I think I can offer some explanation. I need to tell you, readers, that this is not a comprehensive historical piece. While I believe that a thorough review of the decades-long plastic displacement of nearly everything wooden or metal in beekeeping would certainly be interesting, that endeavor is beyond my ability and certainly beyond my space limitations here in bee culture. In this article, I'll only be referring to plastic beekeeping events that have influenced me personally and, in fact, continue to affect me right up to the present time. I mean, no omission to any manufacturer, but in my early life, the big three bee supply companies were Data & Sons, the AI Root Company, and the Walter T. Kelly Company. Shortly after beginning beekeeping in 1972, I realized that the Kelly Company was offering single-piece plastic undercovers, outer covers, and bottom boards. This equipment was touted as rot-proof and maintenance-free. In 1975, 3 years later, Kelly added plastic hive bodies in two depths. There it was, a beehive made entirely of plastic. How modern. While I was dedicated to woodenware, this prominent supply company was seriously delving into plastic rather than wood as hive building materials. Though the Kelly Company maintained its wooden hive production capabilities, it was intriguing that heavy-duty plastic hive equipment was also offered. This was a major bee supply company manufacturing plastic equipment, and I admit that I was influenced by their plastic inventory offerings. A longtime representative of the Kelly Company said that all the plastic hive components were manufactured for many years by several different molding companies, and some in Indiana and some in Arkansas. The sole piece that remains in production today is the outer cover. after so many years, wanted this equipment phased out of their catalog. Through the years, the plastic mold aged, and they began to show wear. Production companies changed, and beekeeper interest in this style of hive waned. Over time, the hard plastic hive components were dropped from the Kelly catalog. My experience with Kelly plastic hives was more positive than negative. Yes, the hive equipment did not breathe and it needed more winter ventilation. Some of the pieces, such as the inner cover, would slightly bow at the handhold spot in the middle of the inner cover. Later models of that plastic inner cover had support points to address this bowing issue. Bottom boards also deflected some, but that too was rectified. The equipment was rugged and weighed about the same as a comparable wooden hive body. The plastic hive equipment did not require painting and was wax moth and termite resistant. Since the frames were generally made from wood and beeswax, it seems to me that the bees readily accepted the plastic hive body components. Lastly, as I recall, the selling price was similar, too. As I write this, I wonder if plastic equipment, or any plastic equipment for that matter, could be sterilized if American fowl brood was found. I can't answer my own question. Certainly, plastic could not be scorched with fire, as has been done with wooden equipment. This article is not developing along the pathways that I anticipated. I've got mental alarms going off. Increasingly in this piece, I'm flirting with the concept of providing reviews for plastic equipment in my apiary. That was not my intent, but how do I describe one product that I own and use and not mention the others that I own and use? So here I am, getting in deeper and deeper as I write about plastic beehives. I presently have and use plastic components from Mother Lode, Beaver Plastics, and Bees Forever. I've used a couple of UV-stabilized polypropylene hive bodies from Mother Lode products for actually several decades. What can I say? My pieces of this equipment have sat outside without maintenance or paint for all those years. The hive bodies have been consistently rugged and stable. The bees seem okay with them, and wax moth and carpenter ants have not been a factor. The R-value insulation rating simply has to be low in this equipment. The plastic is nearly translucent at its thinnest points. To compensate, on their webpage, the company refers to insulating panels for winter use, but I've got no experience with that equipment. I post no recommendations, but after all these years, I have no complaints with my pieces of this equipment. Two other types of equipment that have been in my apiary for many years are from Beaver Plastics and Bees Forever. The Beaver Plastics design is thick polystyrene, while the Bees Forever design, like the Mother Lode products, is hard plastic. Both products are produced as a single-piece molded plastic. That design generally increases shipping costs, but there's no assembly time required. The Mother Lode design required simple, flat. The Mother Lode hive design required simple assembly, but was shipped flat. B-Max and Lyson are both manufacturers of plastic hive systems. I don't have any experience really with either of them, but they're both readily available in the bee industry, so I thought I'd mention it. For those of you listening, plastic equipment, supplies, and abundant styles are available worldwide. Early in this article, I indicated that I had alarms sounding, and that's still the case. With so many options and so many suppliers, I will most likely get something wrong here. The reader will have to talk to beekeeping friends and peruse the beekeeping equipment internet to make a final decision on this subject. Listeners, I wish I could write that I had specific reasons, but honestly, I purchased enough equipment for two hives and a queen mating nucleus hive manufactured by Beebox from Paradise Honey, really for mundane reasons. I made the decision to purchase this particular model simply because it was available at the moment. I had my truck with me. I had decided to purchase some of this polystyrene equipment, and the company would take a credit card. After several seasons of use, all has gone mostly well. I've used this equipment for about 3 years, and I'm comfortable providing the following conversational points. Number one, gluing the joints is required. Though this unit was easy to assemble, glue must be used at the time of assembly. The same glue used to assemble wooden equipment is appropriate for assembly of this thick polystyrene equipment. I was eager to get bees in some of my newfangled equipment, so without gluing, I just snapped one of the deeps together and I got a colony put in it right away. And as time passed, the joints on that unglued deep open a bit, and the bees quickly fill those crevices with propolis. Now it'll be difficult, short of complete disassembly, to make needed changes and to correctly apply the glue. My lesson learned, apply glue at the time of assembly. Painting. After assembly, I use my small airless spray paint equipment. Brushing the latex paint on would certainly have been fine, but I had the spray equipment and it was faster and easier than brushing. I applied two coats. On the hive bodies and supers, I taped off the contact points where the hive tool will be used. I did this not because it was necessary, but primarily because it made the final paint job look nicer. After beginning to use the equipment, I had problems with the paint sticking to mated surfaces of the hive bodies. I sensed that this was a paint issue and not really an equipment issue. I waited for a couple of days before using the newly painted boxes, but they still stuck together and pulled some of the paint off when I later separated the boxes. So what do next time? I don't know, possibly coat the broad painted edges with beeswax, or simply don't paint the edges at all. Any of you have any suggestions on this point? Hive tool use. Hive tool use must be modified when working with this thick plastic, particularly when removing outside frames. If I use my hive tool to pry out a frame near the side wall, I can unintentionally put pressure on the glued corner joint. Traditional wooden equipment would easily withstand this corner stress, but when using polystyrene, more care is required. In fact, I did break a joint that connected the front with the side, and I referred to that incident above. Maybe I should have used more glue to strengthen the joints. But what I've been doing that works very well is I use a frame grip. First, I break the frame free, then using the grip with the hive tool assisting as needed, I remove the first frame. Overall, when handling a full deep of bees and honey, I've got the sense that this box would not withstand the rough treatment or being racked by stressing the load at the corners. Just knowing this is enough to handle a full polystyrene box differently than I would handle a wooden deep hive body. Bees and other animals gnawing. I knew that under some conditions, bees would gnaw and chew the polystyrene surface and corners. To help forestall this potential problem, I chose to paint the inside of my equipment with latex paint. Others may not want to paint the inside, and I understand that. Paint the inside or not, that's going to be your call. Even so, most likely, at some point, bees or animals are going to have a chew on this plastic. But chewing animals also chew on wooden equipment, and I consider animal chewing the equipment just to be routine wear and tear. But what about the bees occasionally gnawing on the equipment? I've wondered if coating the inside of the polystyrene equipment with beeswax would help. But between you and me, straight up, let me say that I really doubt I'm ever going to try that. It's too much work. If others of you try something along that line, I hope you'd let me know how it worked out. Of course, under failed conditions, wax moths chew up anything. No surprises there. But I did have some unexpected challenges having carpenter ants that constructed nests inside the thick walls of the bee boxes. They weren't difficult to shake out, but the equipment was blemished and somewhat damaged by their activity. The good points. Insulation, no doubt about it. Insulation. The thick walls insulate the sides and the ends of the hive to an extent. Both the bottom and the top are insulated too. Brood may be put in the combs along the sidewall if the colony is populous and if the brood nest is crowded. This nearly never happens in simple wooden hive bodies. I cannot say that it's wildly helpful during the winter, but all other things being equal, I would expect that the insulatory effect would be significantly helpful. Adequate ventilation is absolutely important. The equipment fits together nicely, at least with the equipment I'm using. I can readily interchange wooden equipment with the plastic equipment. The equipment has a snug fit, and once the propolis is added, it becomes a firmly meshed hive. Once painted and the paint is cured, the equipment requires few concerns. A positive point, with no other real place to post it, is that the top feeder, once painted and installed, fits snugly and is watertight without any seepage. So now what? Should I use plastic or should I never use it? As is so often the case in beekeeping, the answer to that question is going to be purely your call. I explained why I've primarily used wooden hive equipment, but the plastic equipment experience adds variety to my apiary. I like that diversity, but I truly like the smell of freshly milled pine, too. You know, I always appreciate you reading and thinking and communicating with me on the subjects that I write about. It's how we all grow. It's certainly how I grow. And for that, I say thank you. I'm James Tew. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.